I've got a victory living inside of me. I got the greater one. I can overcome. This ain't no time to turn back, no place to grow slack. I gotta keep pressing on till every battle is won.
Good morning, class. Hi, I'm Keith Moore, and we welcome you to Faith School. Faith School's the place where my spirit is fed, where my faith grows stronger, and where I learn how to be an overcomer. It's what you were born to be and made to be when you're born again. And the victory that overcomes the world, everything that's in it, even our faith. Let's agree together for that to grow today. Father, thank you so much for putting in us a measure of your very own faith, the God kind of faith, and showing us how to feed it and exercise it so that we grow in overcoming, we grow in receiving, we grow in victory, we grow in pleasing you. We ask for the utterance and direction for it today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
We've been on a series for a number of classes now that we're calling Faith for Provision. And like we had said, faith works the same in every area, but it's got to be fed in every area. If you never hear anything about it being God's will for you to have provision, you won't have faith for it. And if you even hear teaching against it, that it might not be God's will for you to have some things, well, you lose faith by hearing the wrong thing. But you want to not just put your confidence in any man or woman's teaching, preaching, book, etc. You want to have everything based on the Bible, the Word of God. And so we're in the process of giving 30, at least 30, 30 because there's more, 30 points and reasons from Scripture why we are sure that abundant provision is always God's will. Amen. For all. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You might say, well, if it's always God's will, then it would be done. Well, Peter said, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is for everybody to be saved and born again. Are they? No. Well, if it's His will, why aren't they? Because you got to believe it and you got to receive it, or you won't experience it, even though it's the will of God. And if that's true concerning heaven and hell, eternal life and death, certainly it's going to be true with lesser things like paying a bill or receiving a healing. It's all tied into the same thing. No, it is just because you didn't have something or didn't receive something, that doesn't prove the will of God. It just proves you didn't receive something.
Yeah.
Right? And just because people are not receiving Jesus, that doesn't mean God hates them and doesn't want them saved. He does want them saved.
Yes.
Jesus paid for their sins too.
Mm-hmm.
And they could receive it if they would.
Mm-hmm.
So them not receiving, them being lost, is no indication that it's God's will for them to be lost. And us doing without and experiencing lack does not prove it was God's will for us to be in lack.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't change.
Right.
His word doesn't change.
Right.
His will doesn't change.
Right.
Hmm? And He's good.
Yes.
And His will is good.
Yes.
And His plan is good.
Yes.
If we'll get with the plan.
Amen.
Huh? Somebody say, I'm getting with the plan. I'm getting with the plan. Talking about God's plan. Go with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Peter. We've looked at a number of things about the fatherhood of God. We want to continue with that today. The fatherhood of God. We saw that He's revealed Himself to a father. He told us that if any doesn't provide for his own, especially for his own house, he's denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Well, is God telling us to do one thing and he does another?
No.
You know, if it's okay for God to neglect his children and not provide for them because their suffering is obtaining a higher purpose, then why couldn't an earthly father be doing the same thing by neglecting their children? And immediately you say that and people go, no, that ain't right. Well, then it ain't right to say that God's doing that.
Right.
No, neither one of them's right. What's right is God's a good father.
Amen.
And if you'll let him, he'll take such good care of you.
Oof.
Oh, he's been so good to my wife Phyllis and myself and our folks and our churches and ministries. It's just, it truly is exceeding abundantly above what we asked or thought. Some of the things that are happening right now, if you'd have asked me about it 30 years ago, I'd have just looked at you baffled and thought, really? That'll happen? You know? But with him, he never peaks. There's always more. There's always greater. There's always bigger and more. And we're really going to find out about this past this life. Suffice it to shout about today, he's my Father.
Amen.
Everybody say it again. The Almighty God.
The Almighty God.
Creator of heaven and earth.
Creator of heaven and earth.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
The Father of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Is my Father.
Is my Father.
My very own Father.
My very own Father.
And I am his very own child.
His very own child.
I am
family
forever.
Forever.
Glory to God. Should that make us happy?
Yes.
Well, does the Father take care of his children?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. 1 Peter 5, notice this, and I'm reading this from the Amplified. 1 Peter 5:7, casting the whole of your care, King James says all your care, casting the whole of your care, and the Amplified does what it says, amplifies, it says all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, do what? Cast them on him. As opposed to what? As opposed to you being anxious or worried. Are concerned. See, concern or dread is just a low level of fear. And fear to the child of God is contraband. We're not supposed to have it. You do remember that over and over again when an angel showed up or the Lord gave a word to the prophet or whatever, over and over again, started off with what? Fear not. That's not just a greeting like, howdy. Hi. Fear not. The Lord doesn't say things that he doesn't mean or that are vain or useless or filler phrases. Why would you start off with that? Because if you're shaking in your boots, you're not going to get the first 30 minutes of what I'm trying to tell you, right? It'll cloud you. It'll distract you. No, he's saying, first off, no fear. Don't let any of it have any place in you. And here he's talking about all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, casting the whole of your care on him. Well, can you have care, concerns about money? Huh? About bills? About debts? About what the kids need, the grandkids need, about the house, the apartment, the car, the job, the economy, the world, the government. Huh?
Uh-huh.
What are you supposed to do with them? Help me out. What are you supposed to do with them? Hang on to them?
No.
Lose sleep?
No.
Pace the floor?
No.
Watch the 24-hour news cycle and pull your hair? No. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on him. And then he tells you why. how you can do it, and why you can do it. For, or because, he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully.
Amen.
And if you look up those words, there's more than one word, and they have more than one area. He doesn't just care about you and value you as his child. He cares for you watchfully. We've already seen that. He's Jehovah Jireh, the God of provision, the God who sees ahead, right?
Yeah.
And that's why and how I can sleep instead of worry.
Hallelujah.
Not just don't worry. Well, but it's something coming up. I need money. Something's coming up. We got to do this. We need this. How can I not worry? Because my Father has it under control. My Father, because I'm trusting him, I'm saying. He is taking care of me. He's not surprised about this. He already had the provision selected, directed, protected, affected.
Amen.
Huh? He already, don't ask me to say that again. He already had that before I ever found out that I needed it.
Amen.
Why? Little kids, little ones playing in the sandbox are not pausing and looking at each other and go, man, you know, this inflation. This inflation is a problem. Or, you know, do you think we'll have, you know, our food and our grilled cheese today? Do you think, you know, maybe they run out of SpaghettiOs?
Yes.
You know? Huh? Little ones never think about it. They don't talk about it. Why? They just, without even thinking about it rationally, they just assume mama will be there. Daddy will be there, right? Or whoever's taking care of them. And what? It'll just show up.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I'll waddle over to the table and it'll be there. Right? And all I got to think about is putting some in my mouth. And why? Didn't the Bible tell us you need to be converted and become like a little child?
Yes.
And that's talking about in simple trust, simple childlike faith. Why? Because no matter what happens, the Father's on the throne.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Nothing's beyond his reach. Nothing's beyond his power. Is anything too hard for the Lord?
No.
I can cast all my care over on him. Even when I got a big bill due.
Right.
I can sleep like a baby.
That's right?
Right?
Yes.
Why? Because my Father always takes care of me.
Amen.
Even though I don't know where it's coming from, he does.
Yes, that's right.
I don't know, he does.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes.
And it'll be there. And you just need to say things like that. When people say, what in the world are we going to do? You just say, the Lord will take care of us.
Yes, that's right.
Don't you remember that's what Abraham told his son? The Lord will provide.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
That's faith.
Yes.
That's faith. The Lord will provide. And when people say, you think we'll have enough? You go, nope. We'll have more than enough. We'll have more than enough. Because he's the God of abundant provision. Oh, somebody say, I believe it. Go with me, if you would, to the book of Luke now. The 15th chapter. Luke 15. And this is the story of what we call the prodigal son. And as you note, it's talking about father and sons, father and children. And Jesus tells this, he gave it by the Spirit of God. He said, I just say what I hear the Father say. And there's so much revelation here. If you look in the 15th chapter, down about verse 11, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them, this is Luke 15:12. The younger of them said to his father, and I want you to notice how many times it says son and father, and father and father, and son, anytime the Bible keeps repeating words like that, there's strong revelation that's there for you to get. He said, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portions of good that falls to me. Now, he's saying, Daddy, I'm in your will. He goes, yeah, son. Why do I have to wait till you die? I want my inheritance now. And here's what's amazing. The father did not say, boy, you just cool your jets. I'll be gone soon enough. And no. He said, fine. Did you know the scripture says, you have not? Because you didn't ask. And we read in Matthew 7, Jesus said, ask, didn't he? He's encouraging us, exhorting us, ask, you'll receive. Seek, you'll find. Knock. See, people have called being passive being humble. But they've missed what Jesus told us. He wants us to step up and ask. He wants us to step right up, lay hold, right? Different from what religion teaches. Religion teaches us to be beggars, to sit back in the corner and say, hope God notices me. Mm-mm. The Lord know it. He doesn't need to notice you. He knows where you are, right? He ain't forgot about you. He knows you. But he wants to see some initiative. He wants to see some faith, which is boldness and confidence and step up and reach out and lay hold. I'll take some of that. Thank you. Give me my daily bread. Thank you very much. Huh? Yes, I'll take that. Yes, you're not trying to rend out of the hand of God something he doesn't want you to have. It's something he has bought and paid for and offered to you. But he's not going to put it in your mouth and chew it for you. Even when God rained manna out of the sky, they still had to get theirself out of the tent and go pick it up. Right? They still had to receive it, had to gather it up. God doesn't do everything for you. He provides, but we must receive. So here, the scripture said the father divided to them, both of them, both boys. He went to the bank. He made the arrangements. I know the banking system's different then than now, but ever how it was, he put that available to the younger son and the other part available to the elder son. He did it. So both of them have access to it. And the younger son said, hey, party time. I mean, he took it. And he, not many days after, that money was burning a hole in his pocket. He gathered all together. He got all his inheritance. And he took his journey into a far country and there wasted his substance with riotous, that means wild, living. He was doing everything you should not do. And when he had spent all, talk about timing, there arose a mighty famine in the land just when he ran out of money. You know, it doesn't pay to backslide and go away from God. He began to be in want. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into the fields to feed swine, which was a low, low job for a Jewish man. You know, you're not supposed to touch swine, not be around them. And now you are serving the swine. He would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave to him. When the money ran out, all his party buddies were gone too. Everybody lost his number. Blocked him? Is that right? He couldn't get through to anybody? You know, a lot of times when people say, well, you know, they were my best friend. No, they never were your friend. Sometimes people's hearts are broken because, oh, they were my best friend. No, were they ever really your friend? Or were they just there for advantage or looking for something? But there is a friend. The stick's closer than a brother. And there is the family of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. And there is the father and the elder brother who will never leave you and never forsake you. And what we're about to see, even when you have acted like an idiot heathen and stink like a pig and wasted all, you know, half of what the father took decades to earn, will still let you come home. Tell me what that is. What is that? That's a father. Oh, somebody say, Father, Father. That's a father. Verse 17, when he came to himself. So he was in a deluded state of mind prior to this. All that partying and drinking and everything else. He said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare while I'm perishing with hunger? I will arise and go where? Go where? To my father, and I will say to him, what?
Father.
Can you see how this keeps emphasizing? I'm going to get up and go to my father, and I'm going to say, Father, I've sinned. And boy, that's how you get back. Don't play with it. Don't make excuses. Humble yourself. Admit it. Take responsibility. I missed it. I sinned against heaven. See, first of all, you talk about God, it's God that you sinned against mostly. And then I sinned against you too. I'm no more worthy to be called your son. But I'd like to be a hired servant. Get a job, get some money, have a place to live, have something to eat because I'm starving out here. He arose and came where?
To his father.
But when he was a great way off, who?
His father.
His father saw him. Had compassion on him, fell on his neck, ran and fell on his neck and kissed him.
Hallelujah.
Well, he ain't got no money, hadn't been able to stay in a room with a shower. He's feeding pigs. He stinks. He's broke. He looks bad. He feels bad. But the father still loves his boy.
Hallelujah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Still loves his son.
Yes.
So he grabs him and he ran to meet him, grabs him, hugs him, pig stink and all. And the son starts his little speech. He says, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned in your sight. I ain't worthy to be called your son. But before he could finish his little speech about, could you just give me a place to work, a hired hand? He didn't even let him finish that. The father said, servants, bring forth the best robe. You know, that $8,000 suit I had tailored for myself. Bring that and put it on him. You know, I might have asked him to clean up first, but put it on him. Well, see, it ain't just about the clothes. It's symbolic about total acceptance back into the family. Total forgiveness. Hallelujah. Because he's trying to tell him, I'm not worthy to be your son. And he's saying, you never stop being my son. And you will always be my son. And even though you acted that way, you're still my son. And I still love you. He said, bring the robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, put the shoes on his feet, bring the fatted calf, kill it, let's eat and drink merry. This my son, somebody say my son.
My son
was dead, he's alive again, he was lost, he's found, and they begin to be merry. Then the elder son came in, and you know the story. He heard the music and dance, and he called the servant. He said, what's going on? They said, your brother is come in. Your father killed the fatted calf, and he was angry. Oh, he was mad. Wouldn't even go in. And the father, in his great mercy and grace, came out to him and entreated him with kindness. And he said to his father, lo, these many years I serve you. I never transgressed at any time your commandment. I seriously doubt that. And yet, never. And you never gave me a kid that I could make merry with my friends. Oh, friend, this is a big portion of the body of Christ today. They've been doing without, and they think they've been waiting on God. This is a flat lie. You never gave me a kid. Back up to the previous verse. He divided unto them his inheritance.
Amen.
Didn't he?
Yes.
And the elder son's not enjoying any of it because he's believing lies. And then he says, you never gave me a kid to make merry with my friends. But as soon as this your son was come that devoured your living with harlots, you killed for him the fatted calf. He said, son, notice he did not apologize for what he's doing with his other boy. Not one time. He said, son, you are always with me. In other words, I know what you've done. I know where you've been. You're always with me. You didn't leave me. I know that. And all that I have, I'm going to give you? No. All that I have is yours. It was right we should make merry and be glad. Your brother was dead and is alive again and was lost. What's the revelation here? Elder boy could have been having a party every Saturday night. Amen. Is that right? Yes, he got the inheritance too. But he doesn't know it, doesn't believe it, won't take advantage of it. But the father's not apologizing and not saying, I need to give you something. He's reminding him, boy, don't you know? It's all there. Everything I have is available to you. You could have got in the closet anytime. You could have got in the shoe rack anytime. You could have got in the jewelry box anytime. You could have had a party anytime. How much of the body of Christ who doesn't know God's their father, who doesn't realize what we've been given in Christ? Somebody say, I believe it. I'll receive it. I'll enjoy it. Hallelujah. Our time's up again today, but I'm stirred up about this. Are you? We'll see you soon back here in Faith School. I've sure enjoyed being with you again this week. This is growing in us about the fatherhood of God. I always like to speak over, pray over our partners at the end of the week. I know many of you are partners with us. If you're not a partner, information's on the screen if you'd like to become joined with us. We were seeing that even though the younger son had really messed up and lost everything he had, that the father still received him and still blessed him. And so if you've made mistakes financially and materially, don't think that's the end, and don't think God's mad at you and upset with you. Let me pray over you and admit it and receive forgiveness and provision. Father, just like we saw in this passage, you've never changed. We repent for not listening to you, making mistakes, getting ourselves in a jam. But the father received his son and wouldn't even let him finish talking about being a servant and gave him all these rich, nice things anyway. So we repent. We receive forgiveness, we receive cleansing, and by mercy and grace and help, we're going to receive abundant provision. I speak abundant provision over all of our partners in Jesus' name. We're believing that. We're expecting that with you. Let us know. We'll see you again soon here in Faith School.
Thank you for joining us at Faith School. Class is dismissed for today. But you can watch this and other episodes of Faith School free of charge at faithschool.org. For more information, visit our website or call us at 941-702-7390.